Chapter 22. Honored to have some visitors with us today, and first-time visitor, Dennis Hill. Is there a relationship here? Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, can we get some stories after church about him? Just one or two, maybe? Okay, good. Amen. That's good. It's good to have you all here. Amen. Are you here? And always good to have the Hills here, but praise the Lord. It's good to have you all here. Amen. It's good to be in God's house. And every now and then, I've told you this before, I'll look up and I'll see somebody and just my heart rejoices. There's somebody here. I'm not going to tell you who it was. Last night, I was thinking, man, I haven't called this person in a while. I hope they're doing okay. And they walked in the door this morning. Praise the Lord. Amen. Even when I'm not looking out after you, the Lord is. And we praise the Lord for that. So I want to show you something that I think is, it's almost hilarious if you think about it. It's sad. It is something that we can be guilty of if we're not careful. And we're in Matthew chapter 22, and I'm going to just direct your attention to the verse, and then I'll tell you the story before we read it. In verse 15 is where we start today, and it talks about the Pharisees, and they took counsel. Now, let me tell you what happened. The Pharisees were the cream of the crop as far as the Jewish religion was concerned. They were well-versed in the Old Testament law, and they were intelligent men and leaders, and they all got together and they said, we've got to find a way to trap Jesus in his words. We've got to get him to say something that shows the people, or that gets him in trouble with the people, so that they'll stop following him. And I'd like to be that fly on the wall in this meeting, and I can hear the ideas coming along. Well, what should we ask him about? And who should ask the questions? And how can we trip him up? And they picked the topic of money. That's a controversial topic. I get reluctant to preach about money because the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. Amen. Money's not the problem. The love of it is. And by the way, is just not to get ahead of myself, but money can take control of you. It can guide your life the wrong way. It can own you, if you will. And we're going to talk about that a whole lot here in just a minute. So they said, let's use money, because everybody loves money. The people love money. The Roman government wants the money. They tax us. That would be a good subject. What should we ask Jesus in public that would trick him and trip him up? Can I just tell you where I find the humor in that? You're trying to outwit God? Not going to happen, as you see in a minute. But you know what we do? I want you to please understand this. This is so clear to me, and I hope it's clear to you. I can fall back from this once in a while when the devil gets me tricked, but God wakes me up and shows me the truth. Can you agree with me that God has a purpose and a plan for your life? Amen. And by the way, the plan is to glorify him. Amen. The Bible says, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Okay, so God has a plan and a purpose for your life. This is a Sunday school question, but do you think it's a good plan? Amen. Amen. All right, so you know what we do? Sadly, we say, let me think. What should I do with my life? And I'm going to plan my own life, and I'm going to pick the course. I'm going to decide what job I do and where I live, and I'm going to decide what this and decide that, and I'm going to set the course for my life. We're guilty of the same thing that these people are, of trying to outsmart God. Because, folks, God's got a better plan than you do. Now, you can measure the success of your plan. And here's how you measure that. Follow the plan, whether it's God's plan or your plan, and go off down that road a ways and ask yourself, how's this working out? A better way to ask the question would be, am I satisfied with this? Am I happy with this? here's the illustration. It's a story in the Bible that Jesus came across a woman at the well, and she had chosen a path for her life. She'd been married to several different people, and the one that she was married to now wasn't even her husband. She was living with this guy, and she was a Samaritan. She was an outcast. Jesus said, I can satisfy your desire for happiness. I can give you water that you'll never thirst again. I can give you a satisfaction that you cannot find and that you have not found. Okay, stay with me. So when you and I decide to take our life and do it our way, what will often happen is we'll look back and go, I'm not happy with that. Whereas when you let God guide your life, there may be some trials and some persecution, but at the end of the day, when you step into eternity, you can look back and you can say, I'm happy with what God did. Amen?
Amen.
Now, some people try to outwit God, like these fellows did, and I'm just amused because they had the best plan they could come up with. And here was the plan. Let's ask Jesus if it's right to pay taxes. How many of you like to pay taxes? My hand is only up for illustrative purposes. I do not like to pay taxes. I do like having roads to drive on. I've been in countries, we were in Thailand, where there were some places where there weren't any roads. I kind of like having law enforcement instead of having to be my own law enforcement. I don't understand why people are questioning that nowadays, but anyway, I like the things the government does. I'm glad that we have an army to defend us and to keep us free and all the rest. I don't like paying taxes. Nobody likes paying taxes. And the Jews especially hated it because their taxes weren't building roads in Jerusalem. They were building things in Rome because they were under Rome's control, and they didn't like that. And every time they paid the Romans taxes, it was like saying, yep, you beat me. Yep, you won. Yep, I'm your prisoner. Yep, I'm your slave. Here's some more money for you. I'll never see it again. It won't help Jerusalem. It's going to go to Rome. Yep, you're in control. And they hated that. So the Pharisees said, let's ask Jesus if it's right to pay taxes. Because there's no good answer. If he says, yes, it's right to pay taxes, the people will hate that because the people hate paying taxes. And if he says it's wrong to pay taxes, the Romans will hate that and they'll come get him. How are you going to win that one? Oh, I think when the meeting adjourned, they were walking out, patting each other on the back. Ah, we finally got it. Well, it isn't the way it worked out, is it? Let's stand for the reading of God's word. I want to show you what happened. Verse 15, Matthew chapter 22, the Bible says, then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk. And they sent out unto him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Master, we know that thou art true and teachest the way of God in truth. Neither carest thou for any man, for thou regardest not the person of men. Tell us, therefore, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not? But Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, why tempt ye me, ye hypocrites? Show me the tribute money. And they brought unto him a penny. And he saith unto them, whose is this image and superscription? They say unto him, Caesar's. Then saith he unto them, render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. When they had heard these words, they marveled and left him and went their way. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you today that we have a Bible, not just to have sitting on a shelf at home, but that we can read every day and that we can read here. Yes. And not just read, but that the Holy Spirit can speak to us. Lord, I can't speak, but the Holy Spirit can. I have no authority, but the Holy Spirit does. I pray folks would see what you have to say to them today, and please give me wisdom for these next few moments that I can say those words clearly in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The principle that Jesus brings to the surface when he answers this question demonstrates the difference in the way men see things and the way God sees things. The men were thinking about money. We spend too much time thinking about money, don't we? Because we have the perception, we have the idea that if we had more money, we could have more things, and if we had more things, we could be happier. And I don't have to stand here and try to prove to you that's not true. People have demonstrated that more than you can imagine. I think of famous people that have committed suicide. Sadly, it's a horrible thing. Don't ever think your life belongs to you to take. It belongs to God. It's not yours to take. That's an interesting thought. It belongs to God. But there are people that think if they had money that they'd be happy. And so the Jews and the Pharisees with them thought, surely when we ask Jesus about paying tribute, it's going to anger the people because he's going to have to say that they ought to pay taxes or whatever. And he did say that, but he didn't say it that way. He took the world's view of a problem and he looked at it with heavenly wisdom. And folks, can I just tell you that right now God knows every penny you're ever going to make? Oh, and by the way, God allows every penny you're going to make. A lot of people spend a lot of time planning for their retirement. I just want you to know something. And I've got this verse on my computer. I've mentioned it to you often. It's in 1 Samuel. It's the Lord that makes low and brings high. The Lord's the one that makes you what you are. Amen. Riches and poverty come from the Lord. And so what we do with our perception of the things, we think money would make me happy, this would make me happy, or whatever it is, we begin to plot and plan and scheme in our life. And we're doing the same things the Pharisees were doing. Young people especially, listen to me. You're sitting here thinking, I want to do this with my life. I just want you to know people have tried to make themselves happy without God and they've all failed. And on the other side, there are people that have said, Lord, would you show me what to do? And folks, God's not hiding from you. If you give him a chance, he'll lead your life. He'll make the most important decisions in your life. He'll pick your spouse. He'll pick your career. He'll pick your where you live. He'll pick what ministry you're involved in, what church you attend, what doctrine you believe. And he'll show you those things if you'll let him. Don't be like the Pharisees and think you're smarter than God. Your life is what's at stake here. Your the years you spend on this earth and how you use them and whether they count. Because, folks, we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And even if you had the wealth that very few men ever have in this life, to have that and stand before Christ and have wasted your life as far as eternity is concerned is going to be a terrible day. So Jesus takes this subject and presents it in a heavenly perspective. And here's what he says to him. You can see it right here. In verse 20 and 21, he says, whose is this image and superscription? Isn't it humorous that even today on our coins, we have the pictures of leaders of our nation? Abraham Lincoln on the penny. And who's on the nickel? George Washington, I think? Or is he the quarter? I can't remember. Jefferson, there you go. I don't pay attention to coins all that much, but... And the fact is, we still, to this day, do what the Romans did 2,000 years ago. The coin has a picture of Caesar on it. And he says, they said, the picture here is Caesar. They're the ones that answered in verse 21. And he saith unto them, render. We'll look at that word in just a minute. Therefore, unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's. And here's what they forgot. Unto God, the things that are God's. What's the right thing to do? if you got something from the government, I guarantee you, you're going to have to pay for it. That's the great fallacy in our nation right now. I do not know what people are thinking, but let me explain something to you. The government cannot give money to anybody unless it takes it away from somebody else. Unless they borrow it from somebody else, and then they're going to take it away from somebody later to pay that back. Somebody says, why didn't the government give us all a bunch of money? Because they had to take it from somebody else. And the difference between the government and God is really clear. Folks, God can give you everything. He's got everything to give. And don't limit that to material wealth, by the way. He's got things far more important than material wealth. But the government only has what the government is given. And with that, what they're supposed to do is, according to the Bible, they're supposed to enforce the law, they're supposed to defend the land, and then we would add to that, we like the idea that they build roads and that they provide those kinds of things. But at the end of the day, it's not the government's God to replace, not the government's job to replace God in your life. They knew a lot about money. They didn't know a whole lot about God. They made a whole lot of plans regarding money. They forgot to make plans about God. He says, render. That word render means to pay back or to return. They gave you something, you owe it back to them. So I'm not going to spend any more time talking about the government. Let's talk about God for a minute. Let me ask you a question. What do you owe God? We could ask it a different way. What belongs to God? I pondered that question a lot this week. If I woke up every morning and I asked myself the question, what do I owe God today? I'm not sure where to stop. I owe him everything. Amen? I'll read you a verse. You can write the reference down if you'd like. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. In verses 19 and 20, the Bible says, you're not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. They belong to God. Pastor, what belongs to God? My body belongs to God. My spirit belongs to God. I belong to God. If you're saved, you belong to God. I have some possessions at my house. One of my recent acquisitions is a cat. And, that cat. You know, cats are just like people. When they want something, they're really nice. And then when they get it, they forget who you are. And about 5 a.m., that cat wants a can of cat food. And she knows I'm the one that's got access to it. And she's the nicest cat at 5 a.m. when I'm asleep. And I'll get up and I'll get a can of cat food. You can open a can of cat food in my house. And if that cat is in Nevada, she'll hear it and come back. She hears that can of cat food open. But she's not very big. She's not very smart. She's a little cat still. And I worry about her. She's my cat. I like this cat. So she goes out in the yard, and I'm checking on her to see if she's out there. Today, I found out she knows how to get into the front yard. This is a big problem. Because I take care of the things that belong to me, and I want to take care of that cat. I don't want that cat to get hurt or to get lost or to get stolen or whatever. I take care of my tools. I take care of my car. My car has got 116,000 miles on it. It runs like a top. And I'm proud of that car. That's a good car. God gave me that car. I'm going to keep it running till 230,000. Amen? And if I can, Lord willing. You know, when you belong to God, he takes good care of you. You say, I better plan my life just right or I won't be happy. Why are you trying to outwit God? Why don't you let God plan your life and you will be happy? Why don't you let God plan your life and you will have purpose? I do not lay down my head at night and ask myself, why am I here? I'm here because of God, to serve God and to glorify God. And I'm glad I have a purpose in my life. And you can too. Now, if you make yourself your purpose in your life, you're not going to be happy. If you'll let God plan your life, you will. Say, Pastor, I'm afraid of what God might do. I'm afraid of what you might do. Amen? I'm afraid of what I might do. And a lot of the time, good thing, God's like me watching that cat. I'm off running out in the front yard getting ready to get hit by a car. And God says, that's not the plan. And he scoops me up and delivers me. And God does that for us. Amen? It's good to belong to God. So what does that do in our life? When you realize that you belong to God, by the way, your salvation came from God. If you're saved, oh, let's talk about that for a minute. If you're not saved, do you know who you belong to? The devil. The Bible says, Jesus said to the Jews that were not saved, he said, you are of your father, the devil. And he said, and you do what your father does. That's why you lie. That's why you're trying to kill Jesus, is because wrong father. Now, the good news is you can be a child of God. You've got to make that choice. I don't know why anybody would choose to be a child of the devil once they knew that that was the truth. I'd get out of that mess. Amen? Amen. And the Bible says you can be saved today in about 10 minutes if I'm not long-winded. It's a good thing to be a child of God. Amen. Everything we have came from God. Here's my verse, 1 Samuel 2:7. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. 1 Timothy 6:17. God giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Everything we have comes from God. You say, well, Pastor, I just planned my life really well, and that's why I'm doing so well. If you believe that, you need a wake-up call. God might give you one. The reason you're doing really well is because God took good care of you. So what should we do? You know, what belongs to God, Jesus says, render unto God the things that are God's. Now watch me. Here's what people think. They think, if I gave my life to God, then I couldn't do what I want to with it. Or they think, if I gave my life to God, he might make me do something I don't want to do. You know what you're doing? You're just like the Pharisees. I'm smarter than God. I can outwit him, not trying to be injurious maybe, but I know better. Yeah, we saw how that worked for the Pharisees, amen? In just a moment, with no effort at all, I should add, Jesus took care of that problem really quick. Because the Pharisees looked at things on an earthly plane, and Jesus looks at things in a heavenly plane, and that's where we're going to be one day, amen? Is with him in a heaven. That's complicated. We won't get into that right now. So he says, render unto God the things that are God's. What belongs to God should be given to him. We could make a list a mile long. Have you ever heard of the Lord's Day? Amen? Sunday's the Lord's Day. I'm not the one that made that up. And the Bible says that the disciples met on the first day of the week. So Sunday belongs to the Lord. Someone says, well, I'm going to use Sunday for me. I'm going to use it to relax. I'm going to use it to make money. I'm going to use it to whatever. I don't want to chasten anyone. I'm not here to try and do that. I just want to tell you something. If you will give God Sunday, he'll give you 6 other good days you can use yourself. And one of them is a good day to rest, by the way. The Bible says the tithe is the Lord's. Now, I'm going to talk about money just for a second here. And I'll tell you my story. And you've heard it before. Way back in 1986, when I got through being backslidden and got right with God, I still remember writing my first tithe check that I had written in years, and I had to stop and remember how to spell Baptist because it was Anchor Baptist Church, and I thought, oh yeah, there's a P in that word. I forgot about that. So I hadn't written that word on a check in years. And I want to tell you something. It would scare me to death not to tithe. You say, well, why, Pastor? You'd have more money if you didn't tithe. No, I'd have less money if I didn't tithe. Right. I believe that with all my heart. Now, you can decide what you want to do. It's not going to hurt my feelings a bit. This is one thing, and that is God says 10% belongs to him. In Malachi, when they weren't paying the tithe, they were robbing God. Amen. And I don't think God's vindictive, but I know God blesses us when we obey him. Right. That's something that belongs to God. Our body belongs to the Lord. The Bible says our body is a temple of the Lord. In fact, the Bible says in Mark 9:41, we belong to Christ. Now, isn't it nice how God is so good to us? He gives us so much freedom. In fact, that's what Galatians is all about. Used to be in the Old Testament, they had to keep the law. We've been set free from that law. That doesn't mean we're free to be wicked. But what it does mean is all those things that bound them in the Old Testament, the Sabbath where they couldn't take a journey, they couldn't cook food, they couldn't drive a vehicle, that's all been done away with. Jesus is the end of the law to everyone that believeth. That doesn't mean, again, you can go out and sin all you want. In fact, that won't be a problem because when you receive Christ, the Holy Spirit will live in you and He'll teach you how to live your life. But what can you think of that doesn't belong to God? And He's gracious enough to let you decide what to do with what belongs to Him. That's a scary thought. When I first came here to candidate, Brother Mendez had a brand new white Honda Accord with I don't know how many miles on it, but not many. And he was trying to butter me up, I guess. And so when we candidated, he said, here, you can drive my car. That car's smarter than I am. You really don't need to do anything in that car except sit there and wait. It'll just kind of do everything for you, you know. And it's a nice car. And I kept thinking, oh, what if I do something to damage this car? What if somebody, I borrowed Mark Hall's truck a while back to move some furniture. And so I got the furniture moved and I walked out of my house to take the truck back to Mark, and I looked, and on the front left fender there was a big dent. Oh, I've damaged Mark. I didn't know. I hadn't hit anything. I just assumed somebody ran into me and I didn't know it. Praise the Lord, it was there before he loaned me the truck. Amen? But when somebody owns something and they give it to me to use, I take that as a very serious responsibility. And honestly, I wouldn't have enjoyed it, but I'd have been happy to pay the expense, hopefully just the deductible, of getting this truck fixed if that would have been the case. Because I'm responsible. I'm the one using it. It doesn't belong to me. Now, let me ask you, how do you feel about what God's let you have access to? Your life, your time, everything you have belongs to God. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. Are you ready to give what belongs to God back to Him? Amen? That's what it's all about. Somebody says, oh, money, money, money. There's a whole lot of things bigger than money. The way you spend your time, the way you entertain yourself, all the decisions you make in your life. You know, a good way to make a decision, and I got to stop, I'm out of time. Ask yourself, how is this decision going to glorify God? Amen? If I move to this city, is there a good church there? Or maybe God wants me to start one. If I take this job, is it going to give me the opportunity to serve God or take it away? If I do whatever, whatsoever you eat or drink, and whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Amen? Something, well, let me say it correctly. God owns you, but sadly, many people are behaving as if they're owned by something else. The Pharisees included here, they were owned by a desire to be popular, a desire to be accepted, a desire to be in control. They didn't want to give that to God. The reason they didn't like Jesus is because they didn't want to lose their followers to Him. And just a footnote, you don't follow the pastor, you follow the Lord. And hopefully I'm following Him and you can follow along. But they didn't want to lose what they thought they had. And that's the same mistake we make. We say, I don't want to lose my freedom. I don't want to lose what it is that I want to do. But folks, it belongs to God to begin with. If you take it away from Him, you're stealing. But sometimes people let something else take control of them, and it's as if they were owned by that. If God owns you and you know it, it's an eye-opening, life-changing decision. Hopefully when you got saved, you realized that. What if we were as serious about giving God what belongs to Him as we are about paying our taxes. You know, coming up on tax season again, and I remember the old days before we had software, had to do it on paper. I was scared to death. I don't know why. I was afraid I was going to owe the government money I didn't have, is probably the reason. Because I knew something. If you don't pay the government, they come take it with interest. What if God did that? What if we were as serious about paying God what we owe him as we are paying the government? You see, here's the misunderstanding. You've read the parables. You know about the fellow with the 5 talents and the 2 talents. And you know the story about the others we've read, where there's a day of reckoning coming. Amen. Because there is something that you owe God. And there'll be a day when you'll stand before him and he'll ask you to give an account. What did you do with those talents that I gave you? It's just not on this life. When we step into eternity, it's when that happens. See, we have faith that the government will come get us because we can see them. And it's not that God's going to come get you, but he has right to what you should be giving him. Amen? Yeah, what if we were as serious about that as paying taxes? If something else owns you, money, pleasure, wealth, popularity, experiences, whatever, you know what you've done? You've replaced God. You've made something more important than God. That's what the Pharisees did. We're not going to follow Jesus, they said. Remember the day when, we'll see it here in a little bit, the ruler asked him, he said, here's your king. And he pointed to Jesus. And they said, we have no king but Caesar. They chose. Amen? What's our choice? Amen? Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's. Render unto God the things that are God's. It's just a wise, simple truth of life. And if you'll live by that, you'll have a good life. And you'll have a life of contentment. It will not be without trials. It will not be without persecution. It will not be without storms. Everyone goes through storms. But when it's over, it will have been the best life you could live. And if you're here today and you never have trusted Jesus, you need to give your life to him today. You need to get saved. Let's all stand and pray.